As we step into 2025, I want to bring to our attention some just fundamental issues, some core issues as it relates to us as a congregation, as it relates to us who live in the world that we live in. These are foundational issues. And the reason I want to address some of our foundational issues is because everything's upside down. Everything's crazy nowadays, right? We are so far removed from our roots, our Judeo-Christian roots as a nation. It's just almost, it's just like I'm living in a world that's surreal, you know? I feel like it's one big mental health clinic. We're surrounded by crazies, right? But everything's been turned upside down, redefined, and perverted, so to speak. And so I think it's important for us as the people of God to make sure that we are grounded in things that are foundational and true so that we can have a semblance of what is real, so that people can have that stability that we bring to them because we have the word of the Lord and the ways of our Lord. So I want to revisit these just to kind of shore them up. And I'm going to start with the Sabbath. It's very foundational to who we are. Worship days matter. Worship days matter. What is the largest religion in the world? Anyone? The largest religion in the world currently? Christianity. 2.4 billion Christians. Now, I should say self-proclaimed or self-identifying as Christian. 2.4 billion, that's a lot. You know how many is in a billion? How many million is in a billion? 1,000, right? 1,000 million is a billion. So we got 2.4 billion. It's the largest religion in our world. And no, it's no wonder, right? Jesus said, hey, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, right? It's the smallest of all the kingdoms. But when it grows, it will transcend all of them. It'll be larger than all the other plants in the garden. And it's come to pass. It's true. It's the largest. 2.4 billion. What is it that spiritually unites Christians around the world? What is the spiritual glue? What is it spiritually that unites all who believe in Jesus? Jesus. Yeah, he's the great uniter. He's the one that unites us. When I run across a Catholic who believes in Jesus, I have instant connection and unity, instant fellowship, a Presbyterian, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Mennonite, a Quaker. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what their denominational background is. If they believe in Jesus, we have this instant connection. Because in him, we're united. In him, we are brought together. So we have this spiritual unity that unites us. What about a practical unity? What is it that practically brings us together? See, I have this connection with my Catholic brothers and sisters. How often do I see them? Not very often. You know why that is primarily? Because I go to church on Saturday, they go to church on Sunday. So we miss each other every week. Yeah, worship days is what brings us together practically in a way that's practical and tangible on a frequent basis. That's why worship days are so important. And depending on which holy days you embrace, you will automatically connect with others. The holy days that you choose to embrace automatically connect you with, well, actually, three major cities: Rome, Mecca, and Jerusalem. Why? Because each of these cities are the center of a world religion, which is identified, of course, with its weekly worship day. So, let's take a deep dive into the importance of worship days and how they can mark us and unite us together. It's those worship days which bring us into a particular religion, if you will, tradition and authority. So, of all the worship days, and there's so many out there, oh, lots of worship days. Which ones should we keep? Let's talk about the weekly day of worship. Saturday from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday is the Sabbath. It's been the Sabbath from the days of Moses for those who believe in the Most High God and worship Him. The followers of Jesus in Jerusalem and throughout Israel continued to keep this day as the weekly worship day. In the second and third century, Sunday emerges and is established as the weekly worship day for Gentile Christians throughout the Roman Empire in the third and fourth century. Protestants, protesting Catholics, the word Protestant was in reference to Catholics who were protesting the church for perceived abuses with the church. So these protesting Catholics continued, even though they split from Rome, they continued to keep the Roman Sunday. Even though they divided and left the Roman Catholic Church. Later in the 600s, Islam emerges. It becomes a world religion. And the weekly day of worship for them, Muslims, Friday. Friday. Three world religions, all marked by their weekly worship day. The weekly worship day is the uniter and organizer of those religions, marking the person who keeps it as belonging to that group. That's how worship days work. That's why they matter. Now, if you look at the annual holy days too, which we're not going to go into, other than I just want to refer to the annual days in conjunction with the Sabbath. If I was just to name a few of the world religions' holy days, we have Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, for instance. Then we have Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles within Judaism. And then in Islam, Ramadan and a few others that none of us are familiar with. Again, worship days matter. They are the organizing principles and identifying marks of religion. These days mark us as belonging to a particular group. For us who follow Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, which ones shall we adopt? Let's start with Jesus. Let's just start with Jesus. That's a good starting place. Always is. And then we'll work backwards to Moses. So in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, Jesus traveled to Nazareth where he had grown up. On the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as he always did, and stood up to read. Did you catch that? He went to the synagogue. He went to his local congregation, if you will. Today we would say he went to his church. Why? It's what he always did. Isn't that enlightening? What would Jesus do? Who cares? What did Jesus do? That's what matters. What did he do? That's the framework for understanding who he is. And what did he do? He went to synagogue every week. It was his habit, his custom. It's what he did. It's what he identified with. What does it mean to follow Jesus? If we want to follow Jesus, should we not follow him in the observance of the holy days that he embraced? That's what it means to follow. It means to emulate the life of the one that you're following. What day did Jesus go to church on? Saturday, Shabbat. I have friends, you know, when they discover that I go to church on Saturday, they're like, "What? Why do you go to church on Saturday?" I always tell them, it's the day Jesus went to church on. And it's like, how do we miss that? The only way to miss it is just because we're not in the Word. But if we're in the Word reading and studying the life of Jesus, oh my gosh, it's just so in your face. The Sabbath is not only a day of rest, but also a day to corporately gather for worship, instruction, and fellowship. The command of the Sabbath is not just to cease your work, which is important, and who doesn't want rest from this crazy world that just drives us every day to just get it done? Yeah, we all want rest. We all need rest. But in addition to that, part of the command is, I want you to cease and I want you to gather together. Come out of your homes. Get together. See one another. Pray together. Love each other. Relate to each other. Build relationship. And so the Sabbath provides that opportunity, that set of values that bring us together as a people, that identify us as the people of God. That's why the Sabbath is so important. So in Leviticus 23, it says the Lord spoke to Moses saying, tell the Israelites, I think the footnote says, and those grafted in, tell the Israelites, these are the appointed festivals which you must announce as holy assemblies, holy gatherings. You may work for 6 days, but the seventh day is a day of rest, a day which you don't work, a holy assembly. Do not do any work. It is the Lord's day of rest, a holy day. Wherever you live, in the land or outside of the land, right? This is also how Israel and Jesus himself understood the Sabbath commandment. That's why they created synagogues, localities, where they could gather together to worship and pray, build relationships, and be the light of God in their community. To follow Jesus means to step into that rhythm of holiness, those holy days. It is an amazing experience when you think about it, to connect with Jesus and his people in observing the same weekly day of worship that they were keeping. It is an amazing experience to realize that when we gather on Shabbat, it's what Jesus did. It's what the prophets did. It's what King David did. It's what Moses did. This is a huge connecting point with the people of God in every generation. Worship days matter. We go to church on the same day that Israel did, that Jesus did, and that the apostles did. So let's talk about Moses. Let's go back to when the command was given in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. We'll just read down through this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is one of the 10. This is one of the 10 big ones. We call it the 10 commandments. There's more than that, but this is like a summary of the commandments of God, boiled down to 10. You can actually take it down to 2. Love God and love your neighbor. How do I do that? Well, here's 4 commandments related to God and 6 related to your neighbor, right? It is the details of those concepts of loving God and loving each other. The 10 commandments spoke by the voice of God. All the others were given through prophets and leaders. These 10, he spoke with his own mouth. He wrote with his own finger. And one of them is, of course, the Sabbath. And he says, remember the Sabbath. 10 commandments, only one has the prefix, remember. Think about that. Only one has this prefix, remember. Why? It's the only one we'd forget. Has anyone forgotten the 9? The Baptists keep the 9. The Mennonites keep the 9. The Catholics keep the 9. Everyone keeps the 9. What is it we forgot? The 4th. And I think God knew we would forget it. So he gives the prefix on this one. Remember. Remember this one. Which one? Oh, the forgotten day. Your day. The Lord's day. Holy unto you. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. A Sabbath to whom? The Lord your God. It's holy unto him. It's his day. He is God, not we, his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are not God. The psalmist has to remind Israel, you are the sheep of his pasture. You are not the shepherd. He is the shepherd. You're the sheep. You're supposed to follow him, not get him to follow you into your ways. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son, your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or sojourner who is within your gates. Everyone gets to rest. My dog rests on the Sabbath. He rests every day. He thinks every day is the Sabbath. But back in the ancient world where you had beasts of burden that did your work, God says you got to let them rest too. This is about all of creation getting to rest and relate to me. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. So we emulate our Father in heaven's behavior. He rests, so we rest. He says, remember this day, it's for you. Keep it holy, it's holy unto me. It's a memorial to me as the Creator. He says, therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He says, I want you to do this because I created all things seen and unseen and rested on the seventh day. When we keep this day, we proclaim in our observance that our God is the creator of heaven and earth. It's a memorial unto him. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This day is infused with blessing. The other 6 days are not infused with blessing. The other days are common days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, common days. The Shabbat is a holy day, infused with blessing. And those who enter into that are the recipients of that holiness and that blessing. It cannot be found on the other days. Don't fool yourself. The devil's a liar. The blessing and the holiness is infused in his Shabbat. That's why we do what we do. Exodus 20:11, therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now, in their disobedience, they got into a lot of trouble. And they're going to wander now for many, many years. And then the second generation, the next generation, is going to go into the land. So right before they go into the land, the Ten Commandments again are revisited for that new generation that's going to go into the land. And the Sabbath command, again, is restated. but somewhat differently, which is really insightful when you think about it. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Notice the shift? He said in Exodus, remember it to keep it holy. This time he says, observe the seventh day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. If we put that together, it would state, remember in order to observe. Makes perfect sense. You want to remember so that you can observe. Remembering is that gift that's been given to us to collect our thoughts to a frame of reference so it can order our life. So when we stop to remember the Lord and his Sabbath and why he gave it, we can then keep it. And in keeping it, it keeps us. So he goes on and gives the Sabbath command again in Deuteronomy, follows the same lines till we get down to verse 15 and we see another subtle change. I don't even think it's a change as much as it is an addition to what he already gave in Exodus. Verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. What did he say in Exodus? He says, you're going to keep this because I created everything in 7 days, or in 6 days, and then rested on the Sabbath. Now he says, I want you to keep it because you were once a slave in the land of Egypt and I redeemed you. It's a different reason entirely. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. So when we keep it, we proclaim that our God is the creator of all things seen and unseen. And in addition to being a creator, he's also the savior and redeemer of his people. It's a memorial to the redemption that we have, pictured in the Exodus and fulfilled in Yeshua. Exodus 31. Back to Exodus, another passage on the Sabbath, which gives us the third aspect of why we keep it. The Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctifies you. It's a sign. It's a sign between me and you. You know, the relationship between God and his people is cast in terms of metaphors in different ways. One of those is that of marriage. It is the picture of us being married to God. We are his wife, if you will, through covenant. Now, I'm married, and I have a sign that I'm married. This ring is a sign that I am taken, that I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. God is saying, you know, in terms of the metaphor of marriage, the Sabbath functions as the wedding ring. It's a sign between me and you that I belong to you and you belong to me. That when you keep the Shabbat, it should be this eternal reminder of our relationship with one another. It's a sign between me and you, if you will, a mark of identity that I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. That it's the Lord himself who sanctifies us. So when we keep the Shabbat, we have three memorials to God. In our keeping, we say, he's the creator. He is our savior, redeemer. He's the one that sanctifies us. He makes us holy unto himself. All of that is tied into the Sabbath. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. He says over and over and over, it's holy to me. I've made it holy. It is my day, my holy day. In this passage, he says, it is holy for you now. Seeing how I redeemed you and took you out of Egypt and made you my own, I want you now to take my holy day and I want you to make it your holy day. Yeah, how do you make something holy? You set it apart for a holy purpose. So we take that day and say it's special. It's different than the other 6 days of the week. It's infused with blessing and holiness. It's a memorial to God as creator, savior, and sanctifier. Yeah, and I'm making it holy. How do I do that? I stop my work every week. I take that 24 hours and I set it apart for God, for his people, for our family. It's holy. It's holy space and holy time. Man, we started doing this 40 years ago. My kids grew up in our home and they knew mom and dad are going to be together every week on this day, week in and week out. It never changes. They could count on that. Our schedules were so hectic, so crazy. You know, the house was in disorder most of the week, right? And it all come together every Friday about 3 p.m., right? Everything is slowed down, wind down. We're all together as a family to have our biggest and best meal on Friday night. Leftovers on Saturday, right? We'd have our biggest meal. We'd have time together. We'd play games. We'd read the Bible. Any movies we watched on the Sabbath had to be religious movies. So I had some really good, you know, there's some really good religious movies that you can watch on Shabbat. You know, 6 days a week, I watch nonsense. But on the Sabbath, I watch something that's meaningful and purposeful in terms of inspiring my faith in God. Yeah. So that day is set aside for our family and our community. And building the kingdom of God. It brings us all together. That's why this day is so important. Now, it goes on to say in verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. OMG. Oh my gefilte fish. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Walter Kaiser, the great Old Testament theologian, has pointed out that in order to discover what are the weightier and lighter issues of the Torah, one needs to look at the penal code. You need to look at the penalties for breaking the laws of God. And based on the penal code, you'll discover which ones are really important and which ones are not so important. And so whenever you have the death penalty associated with blatant transgression of a particular commandment, you can know for sure that that's a big deal to God. That's a big deal to him. We don't think worship days are that big of a deal, right? But God says, my ways are not your ways. I think differently than you think. God's saying, it's a big deal for me. If you're to neglect this and to make it like any other day, it would cost you your life. That tells us that the Sabbath is vitally important. The Catholic Church, the first big main flow of Gentile Christianity, they took that principle and applied it to Sunday. In the Catholic system, you have mortal sins and venial sins, light sins. Mortal sins are sins that cost you your life. If you neglect Sunday as a Catholic, you have committed a mortal sin. Where'd they get that? From this passage. They apply it to the wrong day, but they got the principle right. They understand that you don't miss church for anything other than maybe an illness or an accident, has to be really, really important for you to miss. In fact, in Catholicism, you have to get permission to miss. Hello, Father. I was in an accident this morning, laying here in the emergency room with my leg in traction. Can I go ahead and miss today? Yeah, you don't get it. Oh, My donkey was in the ditch. You don't get to qualify whether your donkey's in the ditch. That's not for you to decide. It's for the religious leaders who safeguard these matters to decide. So Catholics understand this. Catholics go. They go to church. They understand how important that is. I think in the Messianic movement, we have a ways to grow into this. I think we miss for all kinds of reasons that are not legitimate at all. Because we don't understand that this is a felony in terms of transgression. Very important to God. That's why in 2025, I want to encourage and inspire us to make sure that we exalt the Shabbat to the place that God has given it, and that we as a community are committed to it. And in committing to it, we commit not only to God, but to each other. And when we commit to each other, we can build strong community and help each other in times of crisis. I don't even know what to say about that. Okay. I'm going to jump down to verse 17. Now I'm going to go to verse 16. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Gentiles who believe in Jesus are grafted into Israel. You're a part of Israel. This is for you. If you say, no, it's for the Jews, well, so was Jesus. He's Jewish. He's a Jewish Messiah sent to the Jews. He said, don't even go to the Gentiles. So be careful when you say, well, it's a Jewish thing, because you might as well give up Jesus, because that's a Jewish thing altogether too. But if it's okay to embrace him as a Jew, you know, it's okay to embrace his ways, which were first given to the Jews, but also intended for all the nations. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. God has not changed it. He spoke it and wrote it in stone. And when he speaks again and says, I've changed it, and then writes the change out for all of us, we can change it too. He has never done that. It's never been changed. He didn't change it. Others changed it. He says, it is a sign, verse 17, forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Verse 18, and he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on the mount, the 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. The Sabbath is part of the 10 commandments. We don't keep the 9, we keep the 10. God spoke these with his own mouth and wrote them with his own finger. And until he speaks again and revises them with his own finger, I think it's wise that we keep what he has clearly given to us. After all, Jesus kept the Sabbath. The apostles kept the Sabbath. The entire church in the first century, including Gentile believers, kept the Shabbat. It is who we are. It is who he is. We are the followers of Jesus, who, like him, also keep our Father's commandments. That's part 1, Shabbat Shalom.